Welcome to Sustain and Innovate Conference by Performance Days and Sports Fashion by SAZ. You are listening to an expert talk from November 2019. Dr. Antje von Davids, CEO VD, presents Sustainability as Driving Force for the Textile Industry.
So, ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome. Most of you know me already. I was here yesterday also. My name is Ulrike Alt. I'm the editor-in-chief of SAZ Sports Fashion, and together with Performance Days, we are very proud to present Sustain and Innovate, because this is the first and only conference for sustainability in functional textiles. So in functionality, it's very, very important to do sustainable things, and it's not easy. Therefore, we got lots of very interesting and competent speakers today who explain and discuss what can be done and how can the world be made a little bit greener in terms of functional clothing. And as my first guest, I'm very proud to present Antje von Davids from VD. Most of you, I don't need to explain anything, because you know that VD really is the pioneer in functional, sustainable clothing. What they developed, what they've done the last years, the last decades, changed the whole industry. So, Antje von Davids, I'm very happy, very glad to have you here. Please welcome our first speaker.
Thank you, Schön. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me here. When I heard that Performance Days put a strong focus on sustainability, I said, yes, I will come, because I'm really grateful. That's the first big step that you put a big focus on it for us to move on. We need everybody on this path, and this is what I'm talking about. Outdoor for future. I'm sorry, there are probably more people than outdoor people here, but you can all join. I start with the context, you all know that. I'm sorry that I probably repeat what you already know, but I think it's important always to come from the broad view. And we're having the worst crisis out there that mankind has experienced. We had the hottest years, 2015, 2016, 2017, and 2018. Last week, I read in the newspaper that, again, October has been the hottest month since times. So we're having a crisis there. We're having a climate crisis. Already people are dying because of the climate crisis. We have cyclones, we have droughts, we have forest fires. We have already refugees worldwide fleeing because of climate change. So we need to act there. We have 10 years left to be able to keep it in a tolerable changing conditions of 1.5. If we don't act now altogether, we will come to changing points where we can't control it, where the climate will become very, very hard on men and nature. We have the same with plastic waste. We have an island in the North Pacific as big as Central Europe, made out of plastic. 2 months ago, we had scientists from the WWF and marine biologists at VD. They were telling me, or telling us, the team, that what you see in the oceans, all the plastic at the beaches and in the oceans, is 1% of what is already there. 99% we can't see. So that is frightening. I think it's more in our mind, because since 1992, China has overtaken our plastic waste worldwide. 45% of all plastic waste worldwide was transported to China, and now they stopped. So I think this is the reason why we have it in our mind. Before, we didn't even think about it. And then we have a third big crisis, as big as the climate change, because it's not, we can't turn it around, we can't just sort of stop the mass of it. That's the extinction of species. It's the second extinction of species. The first one was the dying of the dinosaurs. This one, it's our fault. Between 1970 and 2014, 60% of the vertebrate species, Wirbeltiere, have died out, according to the WWF. Also, insects are very severely affected. If you drive with a car, you don't see any insects on your screen. They're dying out. And the scary thing about this, insects are 2/3 of the part of the ecosystem. If the insects die out, We're the last chain of this ecosystem. This is not new. This has been out there since, I don't know, 20 years. It's not new. It's facts. What is new is that people are going on the street. Last year, I think it was in Munich and in Bavaria, people on the street fighting for a petition, for a referendum, for the saving of species. The same we have in Baden-Württemberg now. We have people going on the street to fight for stricter legislation against single-use plastic. I think next year the EU will act on single-use plastic. We have people, as you all know, Fridays for Future. My big, big thank you, because now they create space to act. They put so much pressure on politicians because they are fighting for their future. So we have people out there. And we don't only have people out there standing up, realizing what kind of danger we are all in. We also see that people are changing their behaviors. For the Germans, they know it. For the others, I don't know. These are shops spreading in each city in Germany. Sorry, I think this is clicking. Where people buy things without plastic. So they bring their own bags and fill the stuff in their bags. So they act according to their values. That's new. And what really is new is that 50, so this is according to Havas Worldwide, that's a study with 350,000 people worldwide. It's a new study, it's from 2019. And what is really exciting is that 55% of the people that have been asked say they believe that brands actually have a more important role than our governments to create a better future. This is a revolution, because 20 years ago, that would have not been there. 20 years ago to 30 years ago, people said, this is politics, government should do politics, this is business, business should do business. There was a clear division. Now people say, better future, that's more the job of the brands, and that's really brand new. And that is something you need to understand. This is a clear expectation towards brands. In the same path, these 350,000 people that were interviewed say 77% of all brands out there, we don't need them, they're useless. Why is this so? And this is especially in the fashion and the textile industry of a very big importance. Just think of all the brands that are in crisis at the moment. I have written them down because I always forget them. We hear crisis of Vögele, Esprit, Escada, Sinlevers, Gary Weber, Forever 21. Now, as Oliver came with a warning, Hugo Boss came with a profit warning. So we have a bunch of people within the fashion industry. I don't talk about the functional fashion, but about the fashion industry that are in a severe crisis. Why is our industry, the textile industry, so heavily touched by this? According to the Greenpeace study, 40% of all the apparel that are bought are never worn. They're just in the closet and then, I don't know, destroyed, given away, I don't know. Between the years of 2000 and 2014, the worldwide production of apparel has been doubled. Can you imagine this? Just a double, 100% more. So we have a lot of textiles out there that nobody needs. So this is especially for our industry, because we're also part of the textile industry. This is very, very important to understand. Consumers who have the clear expectation that brands should take part to create a better future, and they're making a stand. They're using their buying power to make a stand. And this is really, really important to understand. So brands must serve a purpose. So let's act. And we have all reasons to act. Because of all the crises that I've described before, we are one of the biggest part of the big, we are part of the problem as we're standing here. So let's talk about climate change. I read the textile industry, the worldwide textile industry, have a large consumption of water, of resources, of energy. 1.7 billion of tons of CO2 is our cost to the climate change. Some say it's about 10% of the CO2 emissions globally. So what can we do? we can become climate neutral. So we at our headquarters, VAUDE at our headquarters, has been climate neutral since 2012. How did we do this? Since 2008, we have been doing everything to reduce our emissions in mobility, in energy, in paper, in everything that we produce. We produce less, and the rest we compensate. We compensate with MyClimate. So the consequence is that the products that we make at Obereisenbach, they're climate neutral. That is a benefit for the consumer of today to buy climate neutral products. But this is only a part of our product. It's only 5% that we produce at our headquarters. What do we do globally? So since several years, we're doing empowerment programs for our material suppliers and for our producers. We have external experts, we have internal benchmarks, we create networks between the competitors before how to be best on energy saving, on chemical management. And you might think, okay, we're a small company, how can you do an impact in Asia? And it may be only a drop, but I think it's a drop of water, and it rises in circles, because now we have our material suppliers who go within their supply chain and look, oh, why is my fresh water already coming with toxic elements? What is there in my supply chain? How can I change this? So we're proud on reaching this, because when you look, for example, at the energy we solve per year with these empowerment programs, it's the energy of a small city. But we don't stop there. Our goal is to become climate neutral in the global business, according to the science-based targets. And you can become climate neutral and on a very small scale. But if you want to take it seriously, if you want to reach for the highest targets, and we should reach for the highest targets, then you should follow the science-based targets. And then the first step is to try to find out how much CO2 emission is there in the supply chain. And we found out so far that this is really, really difficult, because nobody in our supply chain is writing this down at the moment. So this is one of the first things where I say, please, let's act together. Please, let's all follow these science-based targets, because we use the same supply chain. Let's all work on this to become climate neutral in our overall supply chain. So second goal, or within this goal of our goal globally becoming climate neutral, is that we have the goal to be that until 2024, we want all of our products predominantly either be recycled or bio-based. Why? I guess I don't have to explain it to you, but I do it anyway. There are several studies out there that try to figure out how much reduction of CO2 emissions you have with recycled materials, but I think it's safe to say it's at least 50% that you have a reduction of CO2 emissions. So that's a big step. And if you use bio-based materials, then I think it's safe to say there are also many studies out there, 75% of less CO2 emissions. What you see here is one of our first products. This jacket is mainly made out of Rizinusöl, castor bean oil. This is where we put a lot of energy in our innovation team. How can we replace raw oil by biological oil? For example, we can already replace all of our buckles with buckles made from castor bean oil. They have the same functionality, they are great, they look great, they look recycled, it looks good. The problem is they cost around 25% more. So my second appeal, please all use natural bio-based materials, because it's always the same. If we have a rising demand, costs go down, everybody can afford it. And it's really sensible, because it really makes sense, because it's at least 75% less CO2 emissions. So second big crisis, textile industry and plastic waste. We are one of the biggest polluters of microplastic. I think the textile industry is the third biggest producer of microplastic. And we all produce in China, we all produce in Vietnam. This is where the fourth biggest focal point of the problem of waste getting into the oceans. And there are no, the problem is, there are no systems for garbage. So we need to act on that. We need to build up systems for the garbage. So one of the programs we are involved is with the WWF. We participate in the Mekong Delta project. So we the goal is to collect, to sort, and to process waste, and then add it to the recycling of plastics. We are also engaged in this program, in the use of single-use plastic, which is organized by the European Outdoor Group. You cannot explain to the consumer of today why we all use single-use plastic. And if it's not recycled, you can't explain it at all. But you can't act as one brand. You have to act together, because it also belongs to the demands of the dealers. They all need to work on this. So this is one thing where, if you're not already involved, you can work and act together to find a good solution on single-use plastic for our products. We're also involved in the textile mission, which I think is very exciting, because it's not only within our brand, it's also with other players like Miele or Adidas, with Henkel Chemicals. And this is a big program to research how does it work? How can we prevent microplastic? How can we wash functional textiles without losing microfiber? So it really goes into deep and tries to bring out findings for the development of products. We already put out one finding. We are in the process of replacing all of our fleeces with wood fiber fleeces, with the goal of less microplastic in the oceans. And again, it's the same here. When we started out, I think the first fleece that we produced in wood fiber cost €250 for the market. That's too high. So what we are doing is we ourselves put it in every jacket to come down with the prices, and we invite everybody to participate. Please all use wood fiber. The thing, if you really want to use it against microplastic, you should not put chemical or color on the inside. It has to be untouched on the inside, because then if fibers break and go into the ocean, then they can really dissolve. As soon as there's color on, or if there's chemicals on, they can't. So please all use wood fiber, but don't treat it. You only have to put it in the inside, because this is where the highest breakage of fibers exists. Third crisis, textile industry and extinction of species. The extinction of species is mainly because due to land use for settlement and transport, deforestation and agriculture. But here is also one part that belongs to us, not really to the functional industry, but that 2% of all agricultural fields are for cotton, but 1/4 of all pesticides are used there. So cotton uses a lot of insecticides and pesticides. So that is one part that doesn't really belong to us. To us belongs the fact that, according to the WWF, 3,500 harmful canceroid, or whatever you call it, causing cancer, poisonous, hormone-altering, harmful substances are used within the textile industry. So we as textile industry have a big part in the dying of species, because in a lot of Chinese, Vietnamese factories, Bangladesh factories, it just goes in the water. It destroys fishes. It destroys plants. So we are part of the dying of species, and we have to stop it. We all have responsibility here. So one thing we all can do is, if we use cotton, and we don't use a lot of cotton, but if we use cotton, we have to use something like GOT certified, because then we can be sure there are 0% pesticides. Then we are not part of it. I think this is the main message. We have to understand our responsibility, and we have to understand that we can act. And the more we act, the more the prices go down, because then we all act together and the demand is rising. One last good example of what it means to act together is Greenpeace. I think this is in two ways, this is very interesting. Greenpeace had this big campaign mainly on the use of PFCs, and we were trying to get away from PFCs since 2009. 2010, we already changed our membrane from Teflon to a non-PFC membrane. And then, since that time, we tried to get rid of PFC on as a chemical. And there were PFC-free solutions out there, and we tried them. And in the laboratory, we always were excited and said, yes, it's great. We make all our samples, we make with the PFC-free solutions. So we had, in 2011, the first collection with PFC-free solutions. And then we had the samples there, we tested them, and we found out, oh my God, you feel wet. This is something we cannot sell. So we destroyed them, and we sold PFC again. And then we did this twice. And then Greenpeace came and put a focus on PFC. And I was like, I was hearing about Greenpeace coming to the fair and putting this campaign on it. And I was like, yay, because now I know there's being a focus on it. And if there's a focus, there will be solutions. And then they were shooting also on us because we were using PFC apparel. And I was like, oh my God. But in the end, I'm really, really happy that they did it. Not that they shoot on us. They could have left that, but it's OK. Because within 3 years, we came to the point that that the PFC solutions developed, because the production industry was now open for change, because the process of applying PFC-free solutions is totally different, and you need experience, and you need the will to experience. The chemical industry was willing to work on the solutions, and more brands were demanding. So that was a perfect way. So if I say let's all work together, I explicitly mean the NGOs too, because we need them to put the pressure on us, on the industry, to have the back the wind in our back, so that our solutions are found. And the other thing that I find interesting in this context is We have signed their detox commitment, and before that we have already been Blue Sign partner since 2001. So 2001, we committed ourselves on turning our collection into Blue Sign, all materials. From 2001 to 2008, we managed to have the underwear in Blue Sign. Why? As you all know, because you need to change your whole supply chain within Blue Sign. And if you're just a small brand, in 2001, we were just an even smaller brand, our suppliers told us, well, no, not for you. Or the other option was, okay, 20,000 euro per year, or whatever the audit costs. So we were not able to do this. Two things changed from 2009 on. One was that we put all our efforts in, because from 2009 on, we said we want to become the most sustainable outdoor brand out there. And we put all the effort in, that it was one. And the second was that the legislation reach was finally getting towards the brands, because within this European legislation reach, also as a brand, you have to know what kind of chemicals are in your products. And you can know this by Blue Sign, because you know everything that is in the product. So the motto of my speech is let's work together. And when I say let's work together, I mean you as a brand, you as producers, but I also mean legislation, and I also mean NGO. Legislation helps us to put pressure and to put a focus on things. NGO help us to put a pressure on things, because in the end, we are all working on one goal. We want to live further on this beautiful planet. We want to have a planet to... We want something to give to our children. We want something beautiful to leave for our children. We don't want to have our children ask us, what have you done to our planet? This is my biggest motivator. And if I look at you, we're all humans. We all have kids. So please, let's work together. We need to work together.
Thank you for listening to Sustain and Innovate Conference by Performance Days and Sports Fashion by SAZ. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other expert talks, go to performancedays.com. Copyright November 2019 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.